My friends, in Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Again, the words of St. Paul from Philippians in the third chapter. We'll start for now at the seventh verse where Paul writes, "Whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may obtain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This is God's Word. Please be seated. Well, running is definitely not my thing. But maybe we can benefit from the experience of a very, very famous runner, perhaps one of the most famous runners that ever lived. But he lived about 1,500 years ago. His name was Pheidippides. He's the guy who ran 25 miles across the plain of Marathon back to Athens to tell his fellow Athenians that they had conquered the invading Persians and saved the Greek civilization. "Rejoice! We've conquered," was his happy and breathless announcement. And as the story goes, no sooner did Pheidippides get those words out of his mouth, and he just dropped dead on the spot. Which I figure is as good an excuse as any not to be a runner. Have you been running? Yes. Okay. Remember Pheidippides. except that I really do want to run with St. Paul in this marathon that he's talking about in Philippians. You know, for him it was good news. It was also good news that really set him to running. News of an astounding victory. Much the same way the good news of Easter got some women up and running on Easter Sunday. After they had gone to the tomb and they saw that it was empty, and the angel said to them, "He's not here, he's risen as he said." Matthew records in chapter 28, they departed quickly from the tomb with great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And after their little marathon run, you can imagine their breathless and happy announcement to the disciples, "He's won, rejoice, the Lord has conquered." And of course, when the disciples heard that good news, Peter and John themselves took off like Usain Bolt to get out to the tomb to see it for themselves. Those women and Peter and John, they are the Pheidippides of the Easter story. It seems there's just something about Easter that gets people up and running. Well, St. Paul is up and running as he describes his life in the letter to the Philippians. Listen again to how he says it in verses 13, 14. He says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I've taken hold of it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining for what lies ahead, I press on for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He sees his life as a race. Now, of course, Paul, formerly Saul, had been chasing after Christ for some time. But at the start, when he heard the good news of Easter, which was the news that really set him to running, it's not that he was running for Jesus, he was running after Jesus in his disciples, trying to exterminate them. He was like a hunter out on a safari trying to bag Christians and take them off to jail for their wrong-headed ideas and beliefs. You see, Paul at that time in his life was running for a different prize. He was running for the prize of religious success. defined as being good by working hard to obey the laws of God. And he was very proud of the race he had been running. Listen again to how he says that. Back in chapter 3, verse 4, he says, I have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. That's quite a resume. He was running strong, he thought. And his argument is essentially, if anyone could ever win the prize through religious success, it was I. But then suddenly, one day, Jesus hunted down Paul on the road to Damascus, knocked him on his keister, blinded him. One of Jesus' followers took him in and took care of him. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, he came to see something new. A new understanding of Christ and of his relationship to God's law. And he realized that all this time he had been running for the wrong prize. He had been running in the wrong direction. Very much like Jim Marshall back in 1964 in a game between the Minnesota Vikings and the San Francisco 49ers. Want to see it? Let's look at the video.
Completes it to Kilmer up at the 30-yard line. Kilmer driving for the first down, loses the football. It's picked up by Jim Marshall, who's running the wrong way. Marshall is running the wrong way, and he's running it into the end zone the wrong way. Thinks he scored a touchdown. He has scored a safety. As he picked up that fumble, he ran about 60 yards the wrong way, threw the ball up in the air in sheer joy. His teammates were running along the far side of the field, Russ, trying to tell him to
go back.
He paid no attention.
I tell you, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
What a happy fellow he was.
Ever have a day like that? Feel like you're running the wrong way? But what if you spent your whole life running the wrong direction? That's what Paul realized about his life. Yeah, he had reached an end zone, but, you know, as a religiously successful as anyone could possibly be, he reached an end zone, that's for sure. And he thought he had every reason to flip the football up in celebration. But the end zone was the wrong one. All along, he thought devotion to God's law was pointing him this direction, and devotion to Jesus Christ was pointing him this direction, and he hated Jesus Christ for that. Until he realized that Christ is not an opponent of the law. He is the fulfillment of the law. And as good as the law is, God was doing something even better in Jesus Christ, fulfilling the law to perfection, which is something that even Paul could not claim for himself. And suddenly, the stone that Paul had been rejecting becomes the cornerstone of his life. Religious success, it turns out, is not about trying to achieve a self-goodness. Jesus is goodness, and we are good only in him, as he lives in us through faith. And now Paul has turned it around. He's running now for a new prize. He says, I want to know Christ. All of those religious credentials that he once boasted and bragged about, all of a sudden those didn't matter anymore. He counts those things as rubbish now that he's running in the right direction and for the right prize. But there's something more here than just running in the wrong direction. Yeah, he was running in the wrong direction, but more than that, Paul was running in the wrong way, in the wrong manner. Very much like Martin Luther was running in the wrong manner. You know, when you live under the notion that God is primarily this stern lawgiver and this celestial cop who is constantly ready to cite you and to fine you for every least little infraction of his law, religion for you becomes laborious drudgery because it's based in fear. Paul's religion, and Luther's too, had for a while been this grueling, guilt-racked grind in which they constantly had to try to justify themselves to God. And religion was this joyless, never-ending uphill jog in the cold and the rain. Paul not only had been running in the wrong direction, he had been running in the wrong way. In his book, Born to Run, author Christopher McDougall argues that most of us who run, and I don't know what you think about this, most of us who run the wrong way. We pad our feet with these shoes that encourage us to run on our heels and the arches of our feet, putting severe stress on them and creating injury and pain. But McDougall, and if we could put the slide up there, McDougall introduces us to the Tamahumara tribe of Mexico to show a very different way to run. These people have honed their ability to run for hundreds of miles without injury to their feet or soreness because they run on the pads of their feet with nothing more than these thin little sandals that they wear. For the Tamahumara people, running is a part of what it means to be human being. It's how we are designed to get around. Well, before there were cars and motorcycles and buses, it was by running that we got around. And these people consider running to be a gift to them. Not drudgery, it's a gift. It is their means of transportation that opens up the world to them and permits them to go where they want to go and to see who they want to see. And what really strikes the author of this book is not just their technique, but related to their technique, because they do it so well, is the joy with which they run. And he notes how they can tackle even the most heartbreaking hill, but they are laughing the whole way like kids playing in the leaves. We hear that same note of joy as Paul describes his running. He's in prison. And yet he rejoices because he knows what he's running for. He knows what he's pressing on for and what he's straining after. And he knows that in the end zone, this time the right end zone, is the prize of his upward calling. Now he runs not just in a different direction. He runs in a different way. He is free in Christ. He doesn't have to justify himself anymore before God. Christ has justified him. He doesn't have to fear being cited for every little infraction of the law. Christ took the infractions upon himself and paid their price and penalty. That oppressive expectation of the law has been entirely lifted from his shoulders, and that changes the way he runs. And now his race, though it is still sometimes difficult, now it is a race of grace. It's a gift, not a grind. He runs because he wants to run, not because he has to. He follows Jesus not because he must, but because he may. He wants to know Christ, because to know Christ is to live and to win. And Christ is himself the prize. So, what have you been chasing after? What gets you up in the morning and puts you in motion? Is it your religion? And if not, why not? Have you perhaps been running in the wrong direction? Is that why religion becomes drudgery to you? The thought of having a devotion at the table or saying a prayer? Are you running in the wrong direction? Have you been maybe running in the wrong way? Is that why you have no joy in getting yourselves ready for church or coming to a Wednesday night service or a Bible study? Do you want to know Christ? To be like Christ? To attain to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Then rejoice. The Lord has conquered. His forgiveness wins over your sins. His life wins over your death. His love wins over your enemy. Don't run this race like it's drudgery. You gotta drag yourself out of bed to get to worship or to say a prayer. You have to, don't run it like it's drudgery. Run it because you've been born to run it. Baptized to run this race. And stick with your running partners who want to encourage you when your course gets tough and difficult. Forget what lies behind. Forget the past. Strain forward to what lies ahead. Press on toward the goal of your upward call in Jesus Christ. Keep your eye on the prize and run for your life. Because the race and the prize is Jesus Christ. And He's worth it. In the name of our Savior, amen. Now may the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.